From New York, this is Democracy Now!
If Jesus were to be born today, he would be born under the rubble in Gaza. When we glorify pride and richness, Jesus is under the rubble.
Stop the genocide in Gaza. That was the Christmas message of the Palestinian pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, where Christmas festivities were canceled to mourn the more than 20,000 Palestinians killed in Gaza. We'll speak to the Reverend Munther Isaac and air his Christmas sermon, Christ in the Rubble. Then a growing number of U.S. labor unions, including the American Postal Workers Union and the United Auto Workers, are calling for a ceasefire in Gaza.
We cannot bomb our way to peace.
That's right. Yeah. Right. No.
The only path forward is to build peace and social justice. It's through a ceasefire.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to step up attacks on the Gaza Strip after a weekend of violence that left hundreds of Palestinians dead. On Friday, 90 people were killed when Israel bombed two homes in Gaza City. 76 of the dead were members of one family. They include Aysam al-Mughrabi, who worked as a United Nations Development Program official for 3 decades. He was killed along with his wife and 5 of their children. On Sunday, at least 106 Palestinians were killed in a single Israeli airstrike on the Maghazi refugee camp in Gaza. This is Ibrahim Youssef, a camp resident who searched for his wife and 4 children after the attack buried them under the rubble.
My wife and children are still trapped inside. I only managed to uncover my eldest son, Mohammed. How will I bury them while they remain under the rubble? How can I locate and lay them to rest? How will I confirm that my children are here? Where did they go and what happened to them? What fault did they have? Why did this happen to them? It's not their fault. The world watches as we die and are being slaughtered.
The Palestine Red Crescent Society says an Israeli artillery attack on its headquarters in Khan Yunis left several people injured. Meanwhile, human rights groups are demanding an investigation after video reportedly taken by an Israeli photojournalist appeared to show hundreds of Palestinian civilians, including children, held by Israeli soldiers in a Gaza stadium at gunpoint, stripped to their underwear, bound and forced to sit on open ground. Israel's military said Sunday it had recovered the bodies of 5 Israeli hostages from a network of underground tunnels under the Jabalia refugee camp near Gaza City. Israeli officials did not say how the captives had died. On Monday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the Gaza Strip for the second time since Israel began its assault in October. He told troops, quote, "This will be a long battle and it isn't close to finish," unquote. Later on Monday, family members of hostages held a protest inside Israel's parliament as Netanyahu delivered a speech at a special session of the Knesset. They were demanding Israel's government prioritize the release of the 130 hostages still held in Gaza. The protesters chanted, "No time, now," and held signs reading, "What if it was your brother?" and "What if it was your father?" On Friday, the United Nations Security Council passed a resolution calling for more humanitarian aid to enter Gaza. Passage came only after the United States spent days threatening to veto the original draft, which called for a, quote, "urgent and sustainable cessation of hostilities," unquote. Instead, the watered-down resolution passed Friday called for steps to, quote, "create the conditions for a sustainable cessation of hostilities," unquote. 13 members voted in favor, while the United States abstained. In response, Amnesty International Secretary General Agnes Callamard said, quote, "Nothing short of an immediate ceasefire is enough to alleviate the mass civilian suffering we're witnessing. It's disgraceful that the U.S. was able to stall and use the threat of its veto power to force the U.N. Security Council to weaken a much-needed call for an immediate end to attacks by all parties," unquote. The Pentagon says it carried out three strikes on Iraqi territory early today at President Biden's direction in response to a drone attack on an airbase in Erbil that wounded three U.S. service members, one critically. Iraq's government said the U.S. attacks killed one member of the Iraqi security forces and wounded 18 people, including civilians. It condemned the Pentagon's, quote, unacceptable attack on Iraqi sovereignty, unquote. Meanwhile, Turkey's military launched airstrikes in northern Iraq and Syria over the weekend, targeting bases, shelters and oil facilities operated by the Kurdish PKK militia. The attacks came after the Turkish Defense Ministry said 12 of its soldiers were killed in northern Iraq in battles with PKK fighters. Elsewhere, an Israeli airstrike on northern Syria Monday killed Syed Razi Mousavi, a senior advisor in Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps responsible for coordinating Iran's military alliance with Syria. Iran's foreign ministry condemned the attack, saying, quote, Iran reserves the right to take necessary measures to respond to this action at the appropriate time and place, unquote. At the Vatican, Pope Francis condemned what he called the futile logic of war during his annual Christmas Day message. Speaking from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica, the Pope repeated his call on Hamas to release the 130 hostages held in Gaza and demanded Israel halt its unrelenting attacks.
I plead for an end to the military operations with their appalling harvest of innocent civilian victims and call for a solution to the desperate humanitarian situation by an opening to the provision of humanitarian aid. May there be an end to the fueling of violence and hatred.
Pope Francis's remarks came as Palestinian Christians in Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus Christ, canceled Christmas celebrations to mourn the more than 20,000 people killed in the Gaza Strip since October. After headlines, we'll speak with Reverend Munther Isaac, who delivered his Christmas sermon Saturday at the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem, calling it Christ in the Rubble. Ukraine's military claims it has destroyed a Russian naval landing ship at a base in Russian-occupied Crimea and says it shot down five Russian fighter jets over recent days. This comes after Russia's military claimed it seized the front-line town of Mariinka in eastern Ukraine. On Monday, Ukraine celebrated Christmas on December 25th. For the first time ever, breaking from a Russian Orthodox Church tradition of celebrating the holiday in early January in alignment with the Julian calendar. In Kyiv, Ukraine's parliament is debating a bill that would lower the age of military conscription from 27 to 25 after the military said it needed up to 500,000 additional soldiers. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports Russian President Vladimir Putin has been signaling through intermediaries since at least September that he's open to a ceasefire that freezes fighting in Ukraine along the current lines. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny has been located at a penal colony in northern Siberia 2 weeks after his supporters and family lost contact with him when he disappeared from a prison camp outside Moscow. Spokesperson for Navalny says he resurfaced Monday at a penal colony nicknamed Polar Wolf in the town of Kharp in the Arctic Circle.
We know for sure that in this new colony, his conditions would be even worse than they were before. But the thing is that this colony is very distant. It is very difficult to access it. And for lawyers, it will be very, very difficult to go there and to see Alexei.
Protests are continuing in Argentina after newly inaugurated President Javier Milei introduced sweeping economic shock measures that has caused prices to soar. Milei is a far-right libertarian. Last week, he ordered a major deregulation of the national economy. Protesters have taken to the street despite threats from Milei to cut off government benefits to anyone who blocks streets. In Pakistan, officials in Lahore have closed schools, markets and parks after the city of 11 million people recorded some of the worst air quality in the world. On Saturday, the government turned to cloud seeding technology in an unsuccessful attempt to use artificial rains to drive down air pollution. Local environmentalists blame poor government planning for the acrid air in Lahore, which has lost three quarters of its tree canopy in recent decades.
This weather is causing eye and throat irritation to everyone. It is damaging our health. This smog has been happening for the last 5-7 years. It did not happen before that. This is related to climate change. We ought to plant trees and keep our atmosphere clean.
And here in the United States, a Colorado jury has found paramedics Jeremy Cooper and Peter Sechuniak guilty of criminally negligent homicide in the 2019 death of Elijah McClain, a 23-year-old black man who was walking home from the store when he was tackled by police, placed in a carotid hold, and later injected with ketamine. An expert witness testified there was no reason for the paramedics to give McClain the powerful sedative. They were also found to have failed to provide medical care to McClain after they drugged him and he lay handcuffed and unconscious on the ground. He suffered a heart attack in the ambulance and died in the hospital 3 days later. This was the last of three trials over the killing of Elijah McClain after one officer was convicted of criminally negligent homicide and assault and two other officers were acquitted. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Hi, Juan. We begin today's show in the occupied West Bank, in the city of Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus. City and church leaders canceled all Christmas festivities in the Holy Land this year to mourn the more than 20,000 Palestinians killed in Gaza. The landmark Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem created a nativity scene with the figure of baby Jesus in a keffiyeh surrounded by rubble. Later in the show, we'll be joined by the church's pastor, the Reverend Munther Isaac, but we begin by airing his Christmas sermon, which he delivered on Saturday.
Christ under the rubble. We are angry. We are broken. This should have been a time of joy. Instead, we are mourning. We are fearful. More than 20,000 killed. Thousands are still under the rubble. Close to 9,000 children killed in the most brutal ways. Day after day, 1.9 million displaced, hundreds of thousands of homes destroyed. Gaza, as we know it, no longer exists. This is an annihilation. This is a genocide. The world is watching. Churches are watching. The people of Gaza are sending live images of their own execution. Maybe the world cares. But it goes on. We are asking here, could this be our fate in Bethlehem, in Ramallah, in Jenin? Is this our destiny too? We are tormented by the silence of the world. Leaders of the so-called free lined up one after the other to give the green light for this genocide against a captive population. They gave the cover. Not only did they make sure to pay the bill in advance, they veiled the truth and context, providing the political cover. And yet another layer has been added, the theological cover, with the Western Church stepping into the spotlight. Our dear friends in South Africa taught us the concept of the state theology, defined as theology, the theological justification of the status quo with its racism, capitalism, and totalitarianism. It does so by misusing theological concepts and biblical texts for its own political purposes. Here in Palestine, the Bible is weaponized against us. Our very own sacred text. In our terminology in Palestine, we speak of the empire. Here we confront the theology of empire, a disguise for superiority, supremacy, chosenness, and entitlement. It is sometimes given a nice cover using words like mission and evangelism, fulfillment of prophecy, and spreading freedom and liberty. The theology of the empire becomes a powerful tool to mask oppression under the cloak of divine sanction. It speaks of land without people. It divides people into us and them. It dehumanizes and demonizes the concept of land without people again, even though they knew too well that the land had people, and not just any people, a very special people. Theology of the empire calls for emptying Gaza, just like it called for the ethnic cleansing in 1948, a miracle or a divine miracle, as they called it. It calls for us Palestinians now to go to Egypt, maybe Jordan. Why not just the sea? I think of the words of the disciples to Jesus when he was about to enter Samaria. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? They said of the Samaritans. This is the theology of the empire. This is what they're saying about us today. This war has confirmed to us that the world does not see us as equal. Maybe it's the color of our skins. Maybe it is because we are on the wrong side of a political equation. Even our kingship in Christ did not shield us. So they say, if it takes killing 100 Palestinians to get a single Hamas militant, then so be it. We are not humans in their eyes. But in God's eyes, no one can tell us that. The hypocrisy and racism of the Western world is transparent and appalling. They always take the word of Palestinians with suspicion and qualification. No, we're not treated equally. Yet on the other side, despite a clear track record of misinformation, lies, their words are almost always deemed infallible. To our European friends, I never ever want to hear you lecture us on human rights or international law again. And I mean this. We are not white, I guess. It does not apply to us according to your own logic. In this war, the many Christians in the Western world made sure the empire has the theology needed. It is their self-defense, we were told. And I continue to ask, how is the killing of 9,000 children self-defense? How is the displacement of 1.9 million Palestinians self-defense? In the shadow of the empire, they turned the colonizer into the victim and the colonized into the aggressor. Have we forgotten that the state they talked to, that state was built on the ruins of the towns and villages of those very same Gazans? Have they forgot that? We are outraged by the complicity of the church. Let it be clear, friends. Silence is complicity. And empty calls for peace without a ceasefire and end to occupation, and the shallow words of empathy without direct action, all under the banner of complicity. So here is my message. Gaza today has become the moral compass of the world. Gaza was hell before October 7th, and the world was silent. Should we be surprised at their silence now? If you are not appalled by what is happening in Gaza, if you are not shaken to your core, there is something wrong with your humanity. And if we as Christians are not outraged by the genocide, by the weaponization of the Bible to justify it, there is something wrong with our Christian witness, and we are compromising the credibility of our gospel message. If you fail to call this a genocide, it is on you. It is a sin and a darkness you willingly embrace. Some have not even called for a ceasefire. I'm talking about churches. I feel sorry for you. We will be okay. Despite the immense blow we have endured, we the Palestinians will recover. We will rise. We will stand up again from the midst of destruction, as we have always done as Palestinians. Although this is by far maybe the biggest blow we have received in a long time, but we will be okay. But for those who are complicit, I feel sorry for you. Will you ever recover from this? Your charity and your words of shock after the genocide won't make a difference. And I know these words of shocks are coming. And I know people will give generously for charity. But your words won't make a difference. Words of regret won't suffice for you. And let me say it, we will not accept your apology after the genocide. What has been done has been done. I want you to look at the mirror and ask, where was I when Gaza was going through a genocide? In these last 2 months, the Psalms of Lament have become a precious companion to us. We cried out, my God, why have you forsaken Gaza? Why do you hide your face from Gaza? In our pain, anguish, and lament, we have searched for God and found him under the rubble in Gaza. Jesus himself became the victim of the very same violence of the empire when he was in our land. He was tortured, crucified. He bled out as others watched. He was killed and cried out in pain, my God, where are you? In Gaza today, God is under the rubble. And in this Christmas season, as we search for Jesus, he is not to be found in the side of Rome, but our side of the wall. He's in a cave with a simple family, an occupied family. He's vulnerable, barely and miraculously surviving a massacre himself. He's among the refugees, among a refugee family. This is where Jesus is to be found today. If Jesus were to be born today, he would be born under the rubble in Gaza. When we glorify pride and richness, Jesus is under the rubble. When we rely on power, might, and weapons, Jesus is under the rubble. When we justify, rationalize, and theologize the bombing of children, Jesus is under the rubble. Jesus is under the rubble. This is his manger. He's at home with the marginalized, the suffering, the oppressed, and the displaced. This is his manger. And I have been looking and contemplating on this iconic image. God with us, precisely in this way. This is the incarnation. Messy, bloody, poverty. This is the incarnation. And this child is our hope and inspiration. We look and see him in every child killed and pulled from under the rubble. While the world continues to reject the children of Gaza, Jesus says, just as you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. You did it to me. Jesus not only calls them his own, he is them. He is the children of Gaza. We look at the Holy Family and see them in every family displaced and wandering, now homeless in despair. while the world discusses the fate of the people of Gaza as if they are unwanted boxes in a garage, God in the Christmas narrative shares their fate. He walks with them and calls them his own. So this manger is about resilience. It's about sumud. And the resilience of Jesus is in his weakness, is in his vulnerability. The majesty of the incarnation lies in its solidarity with the marginalized. Resilience, because this is the very same child who rose up from the midst of pain, destruction, darkness, and death to challenge empires, to speak truth to power, and deliver an everlasting victory over death and darkness. This very same child accomplished this. This is Christmas today in Palestine. And this is the Christmas message. Christmas is not about Santas. It's not about trees and gifts and lights. My goodness, how we have twisted the meaning of Christmas. How we have commercialized Christmas. It was, by the way, in the USA last month, the first Monday after Thanksgiving, and I was amazed by the amount of Christmas decorations and lights and all the commercial goods. And I couldn't help but think, they send us bombs while celebrating Christmas in their lands. They sing about the Prince of Peace in their land while playing the drum of war in our land. Christmas in Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, is this manger. This is our message to the world today. It is a gospel message. It is a true and authentic Christmas message about the God who did not stay silent, but said his word, and his word was Jesus. Born among the occupied and marginalized, he is in solidarity with us in our pain and brokenness. This message is our message to the world today, and it is simply this: this genocide must stop now. Why don't we repeat it? Stop this genocide now. Can you say it with me? Stop this genocide. Let's say it one more time. Stop this genocide now. This is our call. This is our plea. This is our prayer. Hear, O God. Amen.
The Reverend Munther Isaac, the pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem, delivering his Christmas sermon on Saturday. He titled it, Christ in the Rubble. Coming up, Reverend Isaac will join us from Bethlehem in occupied West Bank. Stay with us. Song to the World, a version of the popular Christmas song Little Drummer Boy, sung by the Ramallah Friends School in the West Bank. The three Palestinian college students who were shot in Burlington, Vermont last month are graduates of the Ramallah Friends School and met there in the first grade. The three students who were shot now go to Haverford, Trinity, and Brown in the United States. In the video shared by the school, current students sing in Arabic with English subtitles. The school wrote, Our hearts come together in prayer for the